Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
What are they saying about that? Bobby Dooley joins us. Ms. Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. What are they saying that you know about that?
Well, I am really tired of feeling guilty about driving an SUV. People say soldiers are dying for oil. You know what? We are tired of hearing people commenting on our choice of vehicle.
What are you listening to right now? Is that the TV?
What is that, Steve? We have, we've got a satellite dish that we're pulling in Al Jazeera on.
You're watching Al Jazeera?
Yes, and there's just some images.
Just pictures of it.
Okay, so I thought it was a TV, but I can hear it's Arabic.
Is it Arabic? Yeah, my husband, it's something that he installed yesterday afternoon.
All right, what kind of car do you drive? What kind of car does your husband drive?
I drive a Cadillac ESV, and Steve has the ESC. He has the truck, and I absolutely love it. I just love it.
What are the comments you're hearing from people? You shouldn't be driving an SUV because it's a gas guzzler, and that's why we're fighting in the Middle East, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, you expect them to make a comment that is complimentary because it is an absolutely gorgeous automobile. I don't know if you're familiar with the Cadillac ESV, but it is absolutely gorgeous. But instead, you hear this. Boy, that must use an awful lot of gas. How much is the gas? Doesn't the cost of gas hurt your pocketbook, and on and on and on. And it is obviously very bigoted of them. They are trying to harass us, and we've been getting this more and more. And I think that it is almost hateful to try to make someone feel guilty because they're enjoying their life.
People are becoming, Ms. Dooley, and you might agree with this, they're becoming more concerned about the price of gas and where it's coming from. Given the fact that we're involved in this combat in the Middle East, given the fact that the price of oil is going up and the price of gasoline is up, perhaps they're noticing it.
Well, no, but the intimation is clear.
You're saying the intimation is negative.
Well, those of us who live well, the intimation is this, Phil. Let me explain it to you. People who pay attention to gas-guzzling cars, quote-unquote, okay, and I'm putting quote marks over the top of that, they resent those of us who live well, who drive large, comfortable cars. We are somehow to blame for the military involvement in the Middle East. And I realize this is so wrong-headed. And what I wanted to tell you about is what we did at our Homeowners Association.
You had a meeting of your Homeowners Association, and there was kind of a showdown, wasn't there?
No, I had Steve pass around some handouts that I had printed up over Encino Print, and we're just really sick of it.
People comment on the big cars because we realize to keep the oil flowing, we may have to use military force, and people don't want to do that anymore.
You know something, Phil? That is the job of the soldiers, to protect America, to allow us to live well. Let me repeat that because I'm reading that directly from the handout. The job of the soldier is to enable the rest of us to live well. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's what I passed out at our Homeowners Association the other night.
All right, well, I have a copy. It says here, Steve and I don't like the fact that people have made fun of us for driving SUVs, Cadillacs. They say that they use too much gasoline. But what do we have soldiers for if not to fight wars, to help us drive good cars and have good lives, end quote. Why not save those American lives, Ms. Dooley, and get us on a healthier diet of hybrids, biodiesels? Why not let those men and women live and who have to go to the Middle East to muscle the Arabs?
So what you're talking about is blood for oil.
Well, I mean, that's what it takes right now is blood for oil, absolutely.
Well, I'm totally against that. I saw a leaflet that said no blood for oil, and I agree. And
what do you mean? You just said it's soldiers' job. It's the soldiers' job to maintain the lifestyle of Americans who want to drive large SUVs, large gas-guzzling cars.
Yes, I did, and I do believe that. But when you say I'm willing to trade blood for oil, I think it sounds graphic. I don't think it's necessary. I can tell you I have a great many friends. All we are saying is this. Don't make me feel guilty about soldiers what are dead in Iraq because I live well. That's what soldiers are for. That's why they go over there. And my friend, Karen Hunt, she has a 33-year-old son who is partially disabled from the Gulf War. He was wounded. And as a result, he has difficulty feeding himself and performing basic functions. But I said to her one day, I said, you know what? I was at her home. I said, that over there, and I was pointing to her son, made that possible. And I pointed to the ESV that we had just purchased and Steve's EST. And I said, I took her by the hand, and I said, look at what that's done for us. And I think the American people have to remember that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should we be resenting people who are driving large gas-guzzling vehicles because, frankly, the oil that goes into them comes from a Middle East that we are involved in militarily, or is it okay to make a comment to somebody? You say it's not.
I say it is absolutely uncalled for to come up to someone and say, boy, that car must really use a lot of gas. I think it's rude. I think it is. I don't want to talk politics with you. I don't even know you. You know, I don't usually like to speak to people I don't know or who haven't been formally introduced. And for someone to walk up to me, okay, while I'm loading groceries, and out of the blue say, boy, I bet you that uses a lot of gas. I mean, how? And I looked at this one woman today. I was at Gelson's. I had turned in, and I got out of the car. It has electric running boards, and I was, you know, I was just kind of enjoying a lot of the features. We have side airbags. And she said, I bet you that costs a lot of money to gas up. And I looked at her, and I said, are you for real? And I walked away. You see, because I'm not a hypocrite like the people who are against the war and still drive their SUVs. I hate them.
Well, the people who are against the war in Iraq and drive SUVs, I mean, you know.
Well, there's those of us who know the soldiers are doing a good job dying and getting, you know, crippled, or and it's bad when they get crippled. Karen's son can barely, he doesn't even know who he is half the time. But at least he can be assured of the fact that I'm having a great time with my life, as opposed to those people who drive SUVs and are against the war in Iraq. I find them, I think, who was it, Jesus said that, Steve?
Are you speaking with your husband?
Yeah. Vomit you out of my mouth is what Jesus said about the hypocrites.
I can hear that TV going, and...
Is it too loud?
It's not too loud. Are you watching Al Jazeera now?
You need to. He's got,
How did you get that?
We have a parabolic dish in our backyard that Steve put in yesterday, so it does get some of the television signals.
It gets Al Jazeera and some other ARAB channels.
It gets Al Jazeera and other ARAB channels that I know about.
You've been working with some VA hospitals, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
What are you doing with the VA?
Steve got a picture of me. It's really a cute picture. It's me waving from my new SUV, and the doors are open. My hair is sort of windblown, and I'm waving. And we took these over to the Encino print. We made about 1,000 thank you cards for the men in the VA hospital. And
so it's a thank you card, meaning I got my SUV because you guys got shot up?
No, Phil, it's a thank you card. I got my SUV because you did your job. You went over to the different countries that the soldiers go to, and you got shot, and that's bad, but look at how well we live. If the soldiers over in Iraq can help us Americans maintain our current style of living, then they're doing their job, and I applaud them. You know, I really, really do applaud them.
Bobby and Steve Dooley with us, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Tell me about the Glen Ridge community. Do you know about this?
Yeah, this is a great example. I've got a great many friends, Phil, over in Glen Ridge. It's a gorgeous development near Mulholland and Beverly Glen, and they are alarmed. They are really alarmed at the younger families that are moving in with these new hybrid cars, these Toyotas and Hondas. A lot of them are moving in without any consideration of property value. Now, I'm all in...
Yeah, but hybrid cars are good. Biodiesel is good. Isn't that what's going to pull us off of that foreign oil?
You know, Phil, I'm all in favor of the biodiesel, but I am very much against ruining the property values by these young couples coming in with their earth-first attitudes. And, you know, the soldiers are supposed to fight to keep us comfortable. They had to close their pool over the summer over there because they're doing construction on the clubhouse. Some of these younger families were complaining because they wanted to bring their loud brats to the pool and further devalue the property. This is what's going on. And all I am saying is this. It lowers property value. It isn't worth it. And I really believe that in many ways, what we want to do is make the statement, I drive my SUV and I'm no longer going to apologize for it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know what the Glen Ridge property value is at.
When you drive SUV, when you drive hybrids, it lowers property values because the neighbors think, the people that are prospective buyers think, you've got a lot of these earth firsters with earth shoes and everything else moving in.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley on the line. She says people that own SUVs are fighting back. They don't want to be seen as individuals who are, they don't want to have to be told that their cars are gas guzzlers, that it's rude to tell them that, that it's rude to walk up to them and say, I bet you it costs a lot of money. It isn't about that. It's about them living well. And the soldiers in Iraq know that. And sometimes soldiers die and get horribly wounded so the rest of us can live well. 1-800-449-8686. I'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. It's not news. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What is that again?
I know that because they have closed the pool for the summer over at Glen Ridge, a lot of the young families are traveling more in their hybrids, and that is really unnecessary. It's so unfair to punish the older residents there who simply want to have their clubhouse for the fall months where they can play canasta and enjoy, you know, darts and the things that they do. And so the young families drive their SUVs all over the place as if to throw it into their faces. And I think it's wrong.
The hybrid SUVs?
Yes.
And well, what are they throwing into their faces when they throw in hybrid SUVs?
Anyone who drives a hybrid is saying, look at me, aren't I wonderful? I'm not driving an SUV that's a gas guzzler. Look at me, aren't I wonderful? You know, I don't respect what the troops are doing in Iraq. Well, I do. I love what the troops are doing in Iraq, and I try to benefit from it. I live well because the troops, what got shot and all, they want us to.
Okay, I can hear the Al Jazeera.
They're talking about Americans being chicken.
See, right now Al Jazeera is saying the Americans are imbeciles. And that's just wrong. I don't know. Somehow, for some reason, that bothers me.
Yeah, well, for some reason, it might bother me, too. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Rochelle. Hello, Rochelle. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We're talking about hybrids and gas-guzzling SUVs in Iraq. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, hello. Hi, Bobby. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, traveling in my Ford Expedition,
mm-hmm.
Eddie Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
I live a wonderful lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had anyone say
mm-hmm.
to me that
mm-hmm.
they would
mm-hmm.
think that I'm driving a gas guzzler. My
well,
brother is an Air Force.
Well, you're lucky. You're very lucky.
He's a
because,
major in the
mm-hmm.
U.S. Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
He flies an air ambulance.
God bless him.
God bless him.
God bless
he had,
him.
He and I have had many conversations about what the soldiers are fighting for,
mm-hmm.
and that is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom for everyone, freedom
mm-hmm.
of choice.
Mm-hmm.
I am about to die of embarrassment that anyone would think that Americans are dying so that we can shop. That embarrasses me.
Well, wait a minute.
I think
you need to understand.
It's unbelievably shallow. They're fighting for freedom,
mm-hmm.
not to buy SUVs.
Freedom to do what? Freedom is a very nebulous term unless you apply it.
Freedom
to own
a hybrid if you choose.
And not
freedom
be embarrassed.
Freedom to live a high lifestyle if you choose.
Not be embarrassed to drive a car that uses an enormous amount of oil that, yes, three or four soldiers may die for. But I'll tell you this much. These people that drive Humvees, those are the ones that I know it takes at least four men to die four American Marines to die to get the oil to put into a Humvee. So they should be more embarrassed than us, shouldn't they? What kind of car do you drive?
I drive
a
Ford Expedition.
Are you
I'm driving
saying,
it right,
right
now.
Okay.
I spend about $50 a week on gas.
Okay, that's
I'm
the
not
life.
Embarrassed that I drive
no,
it. No one has ever said that.
And you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be. I
Nor
think
should anyone be embarrassed because of what they drive, whether it's
well,
a hybrid or whatever. We're Americans.
Mm-hmm,
we have the choice to
mm-hmm.
make.
And that's why I tell people who come up to me and say, boy, that must cost a lot in gas. And I'll look at them and I'll say, are you for real? You know something
well,
that's none of your business. I
well,
drive an SUV. I drive the
it.
Cadillac ESV because the American soldiers are over there dying for our right to do that.
Well, but
well,
they're not dying for our right to do
mm-hmm.
that. They're dying
well,
for our
said
freedom
that they were.
Of choice.
You said that they were.
Not for SUVs.
No, I thought you were agreeing with me.
Well, I agree that they are dying for freedom.
Yes, exactly. Is
I
your
don't
brother...
agree that
mm-hmm.
they're putting their lives on the line
mm-hmm.
so we can shop.
Are you...
I do not agree
yeah.
with that.
Is your brother injured or wounded at all? Because I wanted to
no,
send him...
No, he's not.
We have thank you cards.
With a picture of you standing next to your SUV, are they going to send to soldiers?
Yes.
That
I
are
think
wounded?
He would be mortified yeah. if he thought that Americans think that they're over there fighting for their lives so that we can drive whatever kind of cars we want.
Well, I really think you're kind of out of it. You know, I really do because, first of all, we are enjoying our automobiles now more than ever before, and obviously it takes a lot of gasoline to keep these automobiles moving. Now, who is securing our rights to that gasoline? Obviously our soldiers. So I proudly drive a gas-guzzling car. Do you?
I proudly drive whatever
are
I
you proud
to drive.
To drive. Are you proud to drive it? That's all I'm
Not
asking.
Not because it guzzles gas, but because it gets
I
my
am.
Family around and enables
mm-hmm.
us to do the things we want to do.
Well, you said you bought your son a Chevy Tahoe. Is that right, Bobby?
Yes. We bought both of our boys Chevrolet Blazers.
So you're just going all out buying as many gas guzzlers as you can.
Why else are the soldiers over there but for us to live
but
well?
But see, Bobby, that's like
mm-hmm.
the great Americans. They're not over there so we can buy gas.
Yes, they are, and you don't get it. You really don't get it.
No, you
and I
are
really
so
feel
shallow, sorry. Honey.
No, oh, listen to you.
Really?
At least I know.
That's unbelievable.
How do you think it's okay? Where do you get the right to drive your SUV? Because the soldiers are over there that got blown up. Because the soldiers are getting blown up.
But you're
all right.
saying people can't drive hybrids.
No, I think it's embarrassing.
That's hypocritical.
I think it's embarrassing.
All right.
Who have you thanked lately? See, that's the
who
point.
Have I thanked
all right,
lately?
All right. Rochelle, thank you. 1-800. I don't know what you mean by who she's thanked lately.
I send cards to our American soldiers in the VA hospitals saying thank you. And you see these young boys, they're missing limbs, eyes. One young man I saw was missing half of his face. And I just got into my car that afternoon, and I felt the wind in my hair, and I said, oh, God, God, it's great. And we went off-roading, and I don't know, it gets me.
Okay, I can hear Al Jazeera there. How do you know what he's saying?
We have a
set on script.
It was translation.
Oh, you have translation?
Yeah. He's saying Americans, he's saying all kind of bad.
It's really bad.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. As Bobby and Steve Dooley talk with us about owning an SUV, you shouldn't have to explain to people, you shouldn't have to answer for the fact that it's a gas guzzler. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show.
Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley is with us. Look, Ms. Dooley, you're talking about your right to drive an SUV and the fact that you shouldn't have to apologize for driving a big gas-guzzling car even while men and soldiers, men and women who are soldiers are dying in Iraq, which may well be the case.
Well, you know, the last caller really, really made me angry.
But she made a good point. She said, the soldiers are fighting for our freedom, not for our ability to shop.
Well, I disagree because, first of all...
What, we don't have the freedom to shop for things?
First of all, Mr. Henry, driving hybrids is not what I call the way America lives. That is a group of individuals who are trying to all of a sudden appear, appear as if they're doing the right thing. They're all a bunch of film actors and liberals who decided to go out and get themselves a hybrid so they won't be, painted with this brush of driving a gas guzzler. But that's not how Americans live. We don't drive those cars. We don't live that way. We drive our SUVs. We drive the larger vehicles because they are fun, and I think that's the bottom line. They're just fun. And we don't want any of these individuals who are putting us down, saying we don't have the right.
And well, why not give some of these veterans a ride in the car? Why not?
Why?
Just to thank them.
You're talking about the men in the VA?
The men in the VA hospital, the soldiers say, who are fighting for your right to drive an SUV.
That's that we don't need to thank them. It's their job. It's their job. They don't want us to thank them. They go to Iraq, they go to these countries, they lose a part of their body, their face is mangled or whatever, I don't know. But that's their job. I don't think you get thanked every day for doing your radio show, Phil. It's your job.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dawn, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I think that this woman's got a screw loose.
How dare you?
Where do you come off?
You know...
Say no. What
how
do you
dare you
thanking
say
you thank your friend's son, you know, for your SUV because he's crippled and, you know.
But that's their job, Dawn.
That
they
is
go
not their
over
job.
To Iraq and shoot
they
the enemy.
They go over to Iraq so
mm-hmm.
you can have an SUV.
Well, tell me, why are there so many SUVs then? Oh, don't have an answer for that.
Oh,
well,
yes, I
do. Really? What is it?
People make money.
Hurry,
nobody's
hurry,
saying that you
hurry.
Can't have a SUV.
That's not an answer.
I don't think you're an American.
Oh, that really hurts. Ooh, ouch.
Well,
ouch.
Hey,
I don't think you're an American. Well, you know what, Dawn? You sound like you're Lithuanian. I'm listening to Al Jazeera to get information. You might want to try
well,
that.
What are you doing? Counting how many people have died so you can get a new SUV?
We are keeping a body. Excuse me, but we are keeping a body count of the American soldiers because we did want to break it down mathematically. Yes, how many soldiers die for what kind of car?
Oh my
and
God!
Good
you
God, that is ghoulish. That is ghoulish.
Why is that ghoulish?
Counting how many guys die for what kind of car?
Mr. Hendry, even people that are against the war in Iraq drive SUVs. Sean Penn drives an SUV. He drives a Chevy Excursion. Barbara Streisand buys or drives an SUV. Freedom
so
is.
I'd rather drive the Rolls Royce, but he ain't going to say, well, somebody died, so I can go out and buy a new SUV.
What we're trying to do, well, you can call me all the names you want. That's your freedom. But remember, a man just died in Iraq to give you the freedom to call. Just the word idiot cost one life. I hope you feel good.
No,
I hope you feel good.
Stupid.
Oh, I'm stupid?
Yeah,
that
you are.
That I'm saying to you that one man dies just so you can utter the word idiot. Isn't there a better word you can come up with? A man did give his life for it.
Wait
you
a second.
Have a screw
wait a second.
Loose.
Freedom is living the way we always live.
Freedom
and
is living to be able to live, not so you can go out and buy an SUV.
You know something?
It's fine. You have an SUV and everything, but don't
do
say
you?
These guys died because they were giving you an SUV and it's their job to die so you can have
we are simply
a nice
trying,
car.
We are simply trying to send to the Ford Motor Company a quantification of how many Marines die in order to gas up one expedition.
But you do take out stock.
Well, you know something? I bet you as soon as you get off the phone, you'll make a phone call to your stockbroker.
Mm. No,
ouch. I'm sorry.
Broker.
I'm sorry. Ow.
Hey, you're not hurting me.
You know, you really think those boys are dying to have us drive Toyota Tercels? I don't think so. That's insulting.
I don't think those boys are dying for anything other than to protect our country from a terror-sponsoring regime that's been dismantled and now a group of individuals that are trying to reinstate it. That's what I think they are doing over there.
Well, then you are so lost. You and this Dawn woman, I feel sorry for you.
Oh, we
all right, Dawn, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to David on the Phil Henry Show. David, you're with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
My first comment is the fact, you know, the soldiers over there fighting for freedom so people can drive a hybrid. You know, that's part of everybody's freedom. It's like, it's your freedom to drive an SUV. People drive a hybrid because that's what they want to drive.
That's not what America wants.
Gas,
that's not what America wants. America doesn't want to drive a hybrid, David.
Evidently so. They're making them. People are selling them.
What about the people?
People are buying them.
You said these people over the Glen Ridge neighborhood, the younger families.
Those are the people with the brats that want to sit around the pool all day. And the old people, you know, the old people have already said the pool's closed for the summer. You can take your brat to the beach or somewhere else.
What about your brat?
I beg your pardon?
What about your brat? You went out and bought them, what, brand new Chevy Tahoe?
My boys are 17 years of age. They're not brats
right,
anymore.
Yes,
they're young, emerging men.
The only thing they understand is, well, if 8 men die, I can get a bigger SUV. That's ridiculous.
You know what kind of car people drive. You're the kind of man, you want to go and drive an SUV that's a hybrid, huh? Listen to the voice. I want you to listen for just one moment. Listen to the voice of your master.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Right there, do you hear that?
You try to be American.
Wait, I don't understand, Bobby, what your point is. You know, you're saying that...
You're an imbecile.
I'm an imbecile. All you can do is call me a name. Well, I know you are, so what am I?
You're so far out of touch with reality, you have to come back to the real world.
You're talking about driving an SUV because you have that right and you feel good when you're guzzling gas because you know the soldiers want you to live that way. Because
the soldiers are fighting so that when I come home at night, the man that I love isn't sounding like this. Okay?
I'm surprised he's not sounding like this, but it's goofy. Because aren't you funny?
Oh, Jesus H, sweet living.
All right, David, thanks for your call.
Good God, they get lamer, don't they?
Ms. Dooley, you and your husband both, and I'd like him to turn that Al Jazeera off, if you don't mind.
You know, we're trying to inform ourselves.
Well, I can't hear anything. You keep turning it up.
I got a right to listen to what it
was. Yes, sir, you do, okay? But it's you're cranking up the Al Jazeera every time you want to make a point with somebody.
When the Iraqis look to America, they see swimming pools, and they see movie stars, and they see SUVs. Our soldiers are proud of that. They're not proud to fight for a wheatgrass-eating hybrid driver. Oh, God, are you for real?
Turn it down, man. It's bummony. Let me go over here to D. Hi, D. You're on the Phil Henry Show. D? No, that ain't D. Hold on for a minute. She's on 3. Hi, D. I hit the wrong line. Go ahead.
Hi, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, right here.
Okay, my name is D, and my son...
Mm-hmm.
Can you be quiet a minute?
I'm sorry. I'm not saying anything. I'm listening to you.
Just stop the uh-huh. My son is into Crete, all right? Iraq.
He's up the creek. I'm joking.
I'm talking to the host.
Let the lady say what she has to say.
I made a joke.
I've heard her on the radio before.
Go ahead.
Can I speak?
Am I stopping you?
Sir?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Dee.
Thank you. My son is in Tikrit, Iraq, and he is not there, so she
can drive. Can you turn that... hold on, Dee. Turn down the Al Jazeera, please.
They want you to turn it down, Steve.
What about your Nazis?
Go ahead, Dee. I'm sorry.
My son is in Tikrit. I don't like her speaking for America. I am America. My son is in that country, not so she can drive an SUV. Let me finish. She's in that country to defend our freedom.
Well,
I have no
heart.
Problem with her being financially secure.
Well, thanks to him, I've got a new DVD system in our Cadillac.
All right, let Dee finish.
I'm not saying anything.
You are interrupting.
I'm going to hang up if I can't talk.
You're interrupting the lady.
I really like your show.
Are you going to hang up, Dee? Are you really going
to
hang up?
If you don't be quiet, Ms.
Like
Dooley, I'm
point.
Going to put you on hold, Ms. Dooley, if you don't be quiet.
Fine.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
My son is in Tikrit. He is
Turn that down, please.
Okay.
Go on,
he is
D.
there to protect our country. I have no problem with anyone being financially secure. That is totally another issue. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with what people drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not like someone speaking for America when I am America, and my son is not there to drive your, so you can drive your SUV. My son, who I just got pictures from today, is over there to protect our country.
Is he still
and
alive?
I think that you are an ugly American
because
of what you have said about why my son is in Iraq.
You know,
that's
really
all I want to say.
Of course. Then you want to run away and not hear. Yeah, she's so gutless. I hope her son doesn't share her courage. Well, you know, Dee, let me just say this.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Let me just say this. If women like Dee had their way, this is the voice of America.
Turn it down now. Turn it down. Guy's driving me ape listening to him.
Oh, don't dig the ragheads, do you?
No, I don't particularly like that kind of raghead, no. Here is Eric. Hello, Eric. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, first I'd like to say that I am in the Army. And
the lady
on the phone,
mm-hmm.
How dare you associate a young man or a young woman giving their life or part of their body and associating that with an inanimate object like a car? That is absolutely absurd.
But it's a symbol.
And
it's a symbol, of something
thing I've ever heard.
It is a symbol of our ability to be mobile.
Of your SUV to someone in a hospital.
Sir.
Most people, I've been in the Army 14 years. I make $32,000 a year. How dare you say we're there so you can drive an SUV?
Aaron, can I say something?
Sure.
If people like you have your way, your commanding officer will sound like this in the morning.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Will you stop with that?
You have two sons. They're 17, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Have they signed up for the draft?
They're 17, Eric. They do not sign up till they're 18.
Well, yeah, they can join the Army at the age of 17.
Well, not without their... Not without
the Army
so no.
Of your SUV?
No, of course not, because some boys are meant to go into medical school.
Yeah,
because
you're an arrogant, pompous ass to say that. I mean, listen, do you listen to yourself?
Listen, I went over to Karen's home. I saw her son. He was wounded in a...
and you're first
she said
that.
The vehicle was exploded. And I said...
Yeah, you referred to him as a that.
No, I said look at it.
No, look at it. There you go. You just said look at him as a person.
Well, I mean my
soldier who sacrificed his body so you can get on your phone and call a radio station and run off at the mouth about whatever you want.
No, all I said was, yes, I said look at it because it can't hear me. I mean, he can't hear me.
Well,
so,
listen to you. Listen,
it can't hear me.
You're
But I said to Karen, I said, Karen, look at what it got us.
Do you think any soldier gives a damn about what type of car somebody drives? Hell no, we don't. We don't care about what kind of clothes you wear. Do you really think we're over there fighting so you can drive an SUV?
I brought my son Seth with me.
We are over there fighting for the guy standing next to us.
He high-fived it.
We are over there fighting so that they can have a better way of life.
Well, that's what the SUV represents, the better way of life, and the hybrid represents a regression to the Arab fundamentalism that we are so desperately trying to avoid.
How do you associate an inanimate object with anything? It's a car. Who cares what you put in it to fuel it? Who cares how big it is? Who cares how fast it goes?
You know what? Here's how I spell better life, SUV. Here's how you spell better life.
Turn it off, man! If I hear that raghead again, I'm gonna go nuts!
You are
raghead.
A jerk. I mean, you really need to sit down
you're
and
very
listen to what you're saying.
You heard Mr. Hendry refer to that Arab as a raghead, and now he has problems with the FCC. And
go ahead and call the FCC. Do you think I care? Do you think I care?
Eric heard it, and Eric will back me up that you called that man a raghead.
I can care less. You can call what you said, associating a human being, an American soldier with an SUV, that is the most ignorant thing I have ever heard.
I'd simply like to say to our soldiers, thanks so much
but don't
for
that is
thanks
the most
so much for 9 miles a gallon.
Eric,
thank you for... Eric, thank you for... Turn it off, will you? Eric, thank you for calling, all right? Turn that guy off!
I think he's fascinating. I'd rather listen to him than you, Mr. Henry.
This is Eddie Hayes in Baghdad. This is the number one talk show in Baghdad.
Get it off of here.
48 شهيد في كل الفلوجة لهذه الليلة فقط بلغ عدد الجرحى 103
What's he saying?
منهم جروحهم وإصاباتهم خطيرة مختلفة
American Idol, 9 Eastern
Turn it off. Oh my God, nothing would want me to pull my own eyeballs out of my skull like listening to just a non-stop streaming thing of you get it off of there. Listen to a non-stop streaming bunch of that. Bobby and Steve Dooley, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's prodigal son.
All right, hold on for a minute. What is that?
Phil, you are listening. Steve, turn it off. You are listening to the sound of Hockey Night in Canada. The hockey playoffs are on, Phil. We're big hockey fans, even though we live in Southern California. And I can tell you, this is one of the reasons why our soldiers are in Iraq fighting against the terrorists and everything like that. So we can watch hockey and enjoy our SUVs, and I love the sound of that. Seth made this really nice poster with his computer on Photoshop, by the way. He superimposed me with my Cadillac driving along a road into Crete, flipping Saddam Hussein the bird. And I think it's just charming.
All right, I got a quick phone call here from Tony. Go ahead, Tony. Tony, not there? All right. I can only tell you this much, Ms. Dooley. For everything that you guys are talking about...
Hold on for a minute. Hockey Night in Canada's on.
What's Hockey Night in Canada got to do with Americans fighting in Iraq?
Hold on. The Mighty Penguins are playing tonight, Phil, so we want to...
The Mighty Penguins, huh?
Oh, my God. The Mighty Penguins are playing the Chicago... Big Leafs or something.
Okay, so the Mighty Penguins are playing the Chicago Fig Leafs tonight, so...
They're going to get going. Or there's this. What are you going to listen to, Phil? This? Or this? Frankly, I'd take Al Jazeera. I mean...
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Tonight we got a mailbag. We also have Herb Sewell and Jay Santos in flashback form. And we will talk about how you have to assimilate in California. You're just going to have to learn how to drive on a freeway. I don't want to hear about it anymore. You people from Oregon, Wisconsin, just get that horsepower going. Or I tell you what, take the surface streets or maybe a dirt road. Maybe the old dirt road. Also, we have how to read a news story? How to read a news story. There's another news story. You're going to be very interested to learn how to read it. There's certain ways of reading news stories, and if you don't know how to do it, you're just going to take some guy's shuck and jive, and you'll be lost in the whole corporate boogie-woogie of the fast shuffle. Also, Michael Moore's big fat ass is in the news again. But first, so today, I got up very early today because I had an early morning appointment down at a television studio where I played the part of a character in an animated show.
And I went down there, and we did what's called a table read, where all the actors gather around and we read it. And then we go across the street to the recording studio on the TV studio lot, and we record the voices. Now, you're not all in the studio at once. They do different scenes at different times. So the actors all sit in a place called a green room. They call it a green room. I don't know why they call it a green room, but in order to fulfill the manifesto that it is a green room, they paint the walls green. I guess the walls could be red, any color they want, but if it's a green room, it's got to be green. And in there are sandwiches, there's candies, there's waters, there's Cokes, there's newspapers, there's ways to while away the time as you wait for them to call you in to record your piece on the animated show. And as I sat there, I listened to people talking. And I heard them talking politics. And the politics I heard them talking, frankly, were the kind of political views that I found offensive. But whatever. You see, to me, if something's offensive, it doesn't matter to me, man. I mean, if it's offensive, it depends on what's offensive, okay? If someone's being completely racially stereotyping, for instance, if someone's, like when I walked into a Federal Express office about, 6 years ago, and I heard some woman at the counter working for Federal Express saying that she thought that Farrakhan ought to go back to Africa. And I said something to her. I said, "Where's your supervisor?" "Why, sir?" I said, "Because I don't come in here to listen to your crap. I come in here to mail an envelope. And I don't like listening to you talking about guys going back to Africa. What do you think of that? You work here?" "Yes, I do." "Well, you know something? Why don't you just mail my envelope and shut up?" I didn't say that. I tried to be as polite as I could, but that's what I was thinking. That's what I was feeling. And I didn't look for this. So, you know, she apologized and all that. It's just certain things, right? But the point is this. Most of the time, I let it slide. Now I'm hearing these people, these actors, talking about Bush is this and the war in Iraq is that. And I said, "Well, let me tell you something. It's these Arabs who are sticking us up at the gas pump. This is the real problem." And I think we can all be agreed that if these Arabs weren't sticking a knife in our back, and all of a sudden walking in, checking her cell phone for messages, comes one of the big shot actresses who says, hey, watch that. I said, "Watch what?" "That Arab stuff." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Those cats who are over there sticking a knife in our back at the gas pump." "Yeah, they are." I said, "And you know what? The best thing for us to do is maybe not be in that part of the world." "Yeah, we ought to get out of there." And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Hey, watch that Arab stuff. Let me tell you something. This is not some fantasy. This is happening. I got a pilot going on at another studio here, and I don't need to be on television. I don't want to be on television if I got to work in an environment like that, where I got to watch what I say, but everybody else can weigh in with that typical, boring, completely unthought out and unscrutinized point of view about Bush this and Iraq that. Like one of them is saying to me, "Well, this is a war of insurgency, man. I know because I read all the blogs from Iraq." I said, "Hey, dude, I read blogs too, and I'm looking at people saying we're glad the Americans are here. So I don't know what you're talking about." "Well, I didn't used to see these comments, but now they're saying after Fallujah, this is an insurgency." I said, "I'll tell you right now, it ain't an insurgency. It's a whole bunch of mercenaries from Syria, Iran, and Ba'ath Party loyalists. There might be a handful of people out of Fallujah but they're all Ba'athists." So I'm just rapping this, see, and I don't care. The guy's got a different opinion from me. That's fine. That's okay. But we're just talking this stuff, right? But there's this sort of this unspoken attitude. Well, you better watch it. If the wrong opinion is going to get you in trouble, right? I guarantee this. I'm not just telling you that this is what I think. I guarantee this. I'll put money on this. That had I pursued that Arab conversation with this woman, I bet you she would have gone to one of the producers and said, "I want that guy back on the show." And I bet you they would have kowtowed to her too. They don't need to lose her, man. She's one of the stars of the show, right? I'm just some schlub. They walked in, you know, right in there for a guest star shot. Watch that Arab stuff. Let me tell you what. I'll start watching the Arab stuff when the Arabs start watching their stuff. How about that? When I'm talking about Arabs, I'm talking about Saudi Arabians, unless I specify otherwise. If I'm talking about Arabs in general, I'll say, you know, I think all Arabs are scumbags. There. Now you'll know that I'm talking about all Arabs in general. But I'm not talking about all Arabs in general. I said those Arabs sticking us up at the gas pump. Anybody with a third grade education knows I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. Which, speaking of those guys, they're in big trouble with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda just blasted another building, the bits over there. And it won't be long before they start coming to Uncle Sam and screaming for help. And I think that's going to be a very good day for us, because we'll be able to say, well, so you got some problems, do you? Al-Qaeda, is it? Yeah, we know. We're familiar with them. Well, I tell you what you do. That oil comes down about $10 a barrel. And we'll talk turkey, baby. Now, what do you think? Is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? Good idea? Let me tell you what the blowback is. Or the, what do they call it? The blowback? Yeah, it's the, here's the blowback on that. In 15 years, when we find out that the Saudi Arabians have had concentration camps torturing Jewish people or whatever they do down there, which I don't doubt that they do, then people will say, and it was the American government that enabled them. The American government did that. They're the ones that propped them up. Yeah, well, you forget the time that we wanted them to be propped up so we could get that oil price down, baby. That's how the world works. That's reality, okay? That's not some fantasy, you know, concocted by, you know, the people who think that the world is, you know, is like another Disneyland, man. All you gotta do is put your money in, and you get a ticket for a really cool ride. That's the real. That's the real world, okay? You go to Saudi Arabia, so you got problems with Al-Qaeda. Tell you what we can do. We can help secure your country, but you're going to need to do some serious dealing with us now and out of oil. Well, we can't do it. We're members of OPEC. They control. Well, then you better start using some muscle with OPEC and start dropping that price down. Yeah, whatever you guys say. Okay, cool. Then in 15 years, when the price of oil comes down, people go, oh, this is great. And in 15 years, they find out that America, you know, was enabling some government that was torturing people. And then all these people are going to start, the same people that were digging the low price of gas are going to start pointing their finger and saying, what a bunch of Nazi bastards America is, supporting these guys like the Shah, like Somoza, like Batista, like yeah, all these cats that at the time, it was cool because everybody was getting well. Guys over in Fallujah right now, the Marines that are fighting those people in Fallujah, are fighting a war on behalf of a generation of Americans who believe that wars should only be fought when you can guarantee that your soldiers don't die. Do you understand that this is the kind of childlike mentality that we're dealing with now? We should only fight wars only if soldiers who are Americans don't die. Soldier dies. One more reason why we shouldn't be fighting. Never mind what we're fighting for. Forget about the reasons. It's just if a guy dies, then it ain't worth fighting for. Now, in anybody's book, that's called gutless. In anybody's book. Over here, that masquerades as compassion, humanity. That's not compassion and humanity. That's just flat. That's just gutless. Hey, pretty easy for you to say with somebody else's life, huh, Henry? Look, pal, I got news for you. You want me to go over there? I'm happy to go. Who's taking old guys of 51 that are fat? You tell me the branch of the service that's taking us, I'd be more than happy to head on over there right now. But it ain't even about me. It's about what those men are doing, those Marines over there, who are trying to batten down the hatches on that hole, that Fallujah, where not too long ago they had torched four Americans and dragged their bodies through the streets. And yet this guy today is telling me, hey, I've been reading the blogs out of Iraq, and they're really pissed off about that Fallujah thing. They're pissed off. If we had anybody with a swinging pair in this country, we'd be going through the freaking roof right now. We'd be ready to tear somebody's face off for what they did to four Americans over there. But it's the Iraqis that are pissed? You got to be kidding me with that one. But today we live in a country where no one's supposed to die in a war. And if people die in wars, then it's just a bad thing. Here's what I think. I'm so tired of fighting this fight, I could vomit. I think, in all honesty, the biggest mistake that was made in Iraq was not committing troops to try to root out Saddam Hussein. I think it was great. But you got to understand something. I said this at the very beginning of the Iraq war. The Iraqi people have yet to prove that they're even worth saving. Now, I don't care what happens to them. I could give a crap. I've always said the most important thing is for me, the most important thing for me is my country, America. The Iraqis allowed Saddam Hussein to flourish. They kowtowed to the guy. They didn't take their destiny into their own hands. At no time did they show any inkling or any indication that they wanted anything other than having their ears chopped off and be thrown off of the top of buildings. And on top of everything else, they treat our soldiers like garbage. Apparently, at least that's what I'm told. Isn't that right, folks? I mean, that's what you're saying. They hate us, right? Well, if what you say is true, many of my fine anti-war friends, then I say this. They're not worth saving. I say we can throw them to any fate that they choose. If they want to, if they want their country to be another Somalia, another state of warlords, let it happen. We've got plenty of space to set up a military base, stick a couple of aircraft carriers off the coast. That's all I need. I don't need Iraq to be democratic. I just want to make sure that whoever is in power there doesn't get any more bright ideas like Saddam did. Because the next guy that comes in and gets some bright ideas, well, guess what? Here come the Marines again. It's a simple equation. It's not a very difficult thing to figure out. I don't know whether the Iraqis are worth saving. Frankly, I look at the country over there and the reporting that's coming back. I'm just saying the reporting that's coming back from the mainstream press. If I believe what's coming back to me from the mainstream press about Iraq, those people, I wouldn't pee on them if they were all on fire. I wouldn't put them out with Coca-Cola. However, that's what the mainstream press is telling me. Now, a little bit deeper, if you care to dig for the information, there are a lot of Iraqis, the majority, who are glad we're there. But you know what? The old saying, time will tell. I don't know whether time will tell, but it's a good way of wrapping this up. Just remember, Hollywood, bad. Radio, good. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Then we get around to Michael Moore. He's made another documentary about how we've never done anything right in the history of this country since the beginning of time. And I'm sure it's going to be just ever so funny. Like, even cats that agree with him don't think he's funny. I mean, anybody that actually knows anything about funny, even guys that think Michael Moore is right politically, have never thought the guy was funny. But he's come up with one called... what's this called? Fahrenheit 911. Fahrenheit 911. So it'll be his commentary on 9/11. Remember when Michael Moore, by the way, said that if there'd been some brothers, now dig this. He said this is like not only lame, but it's like tired sort of brother humor at a time when, like, maybe it's 10 years too late. He said if there'd been some brothers on the planes at 9/11, they would have kicked ass on the terrorists, but there was nothing but a bunch of soft white guys, right? Now, that kind of, you know, brother humor is like pre-9/11 and, you know, white guys can't jump stuff, okay? And he starts laying that stuff out 6 months after the planes went into the World Trade Center like the big, fat, lame ass that he is. So anyway, this is how funny this guy is. Well, the Cannes or the Con, how do you pronounce C-A-N-N-E-S, this film festival that the Frogs put on every year that every movie actor and guy that ever made a movie thinks is the most important step in his career, right? The Frog Movie Festival is what we call it around here. Down there in Frog, France, he has been chosen. It's going to be premiered there. And how do we know? Because he's got it all over his website. Hoo-hoo! Drudge linked it, so I went on this guy Moore's website. Man, he is excited for him. I just got word that my new film, Fahrenheit 911, has been selected by the Cannes Film Festival to premiere there in competition next month! Exclamation point. You know, you can almost feel the ground jiggling at him jumping up and down with glee, can't you? Almost as if he's standing there with Howard Dean going, he's just having a good time. This is only the second time in the last 48 years that a documentary has been chosen to be in the main competition for the first being Bowling for Columbine. And in fact, another documentary has also been chosen for this year. The nonfiction film Revolution Rolls On. I'm deeply honored by this announcement, considering it comes from our mortal enemy, the French. He ain't your mortal enemy, dude. Obviously, the frogs know what they're talking about, man. This year in Cannes, the jury is headed by Quentin Tarantino and also includes director Jeffrey Schatzberg, Kathleen Turner, Tilda Swinton, and others. Those are the biggest names they could come up with, in other words. Jeffrey Schatzberg and Tilda Swinton, and oh so very many more. Fahrenheit 9/11 will be in theaters across the U.S. and the rest of the world this summer. More info, gossip, and all the juicy details to follow. Thanks, everyone, for your support. I'll bet you Fat Boy's got groupies like you wouldn't believe, and I bet you they all weigh as much as he does. Can you imagine the groupies hanging around Michael Moore's bus, or should I say his tractor trailer, when he pulls into town? Just a whole lot of big, round women.
Michael!
He steps out, he takes a look at the women, and suddenly... they ain't as hot as you thought they'd be, Michael. And by the way, pal, I hate to tell you this, but the rumor persists that Michael Moore, people that work for him can't stand it. I mean, honest to God, the guy's like a pumped-up, pompous, pushy, abusive jackass. But that's just the rumor. Honest to God, that's what I hear. Oh, and on top of that, I hear Moore, one of our anti-Iraq war friends, he doesn't have a problem driving around some big gas-sucking hog. Of course, with a big fat ass like his, what are you going to do? You going to get into a Volkswagen? I guess we have to forgive him, okay? He's got to drive not a Humvee, he drives a freaking half-track. He had to go out of the old German army surplus, man, and get one of them things with the big, you know, the cross from the, you know, the ones you see all those guys with the helmets going down the road. Guys, he's driving a half-track. You know something more? Take it from me, man. Not that I disagree with your politics, which I do. You are not funny, dude. And you're getting propped up by a whole lot of people that, first of all, the cats that bought your book. I mean, you know what, man? I can name the books that people are buying these days, okay? They bought Paul Reiser's book. Make you feel better? Coming up, how to read a news story. We also have Phil's mailbag. Actually, I'm probably just jealous. You know what? I'm jealous of the notoriety. Two words, though, for you, Michael. Cortislim. Boy, if we could get hit. Seriously, I'd take it all back if he'd buy Cortislim and endorse it with me on the air. Because then, you know, that would be a miracle of modern science. That'd be the greatest thing since freaking Frankenstein got the electrons in things in his neck. You know what I'm saying? All right. How to read a news story coming up and a whole bunch of other manure. Phil Hendry Show, our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, I got friends who work in television and movies who don't have the right opinions, right? And they never talk about it because they could get their throat slit from ear to ear in their profession. I ain't kidding you. I got a friend of mine who works in special effects. I never talk about my politics because the wrong word dropped and you're out of this business. I know one of the biggest actors in the motion picture business out here, okay? Guy you guys know very well, I don't want to mention any names, but his initials are, I can't say. He said, I can't talk about how I really, what my politics really are. Because they all look at you with that big disapproving stare, and the next thing you know, there's a sort of a cabal of disapproval, and you got no shot. You're not going to get hired to do, you ain't going to get hired to polish Shirley Temple's shoes. You won't get hired to scrub out her underwear. And at the age of 75, that's got to be a nasty job. Anyway. So anyway, Michael Moore, man, you are out of sight. From your baseball cap to your kind of scruffy working man's beard to the fact that you kind of walk around there with your glasses and your big fat jeans. Do you get those special made, man? I mean, you might as well, if you're going to go out and have your jeans special made, you might as well have some nice slacks, a nice suit special made. But what are you doing? Are you going down to like a tailor and you're having grubby clothes tailored? Because you have to. Nobody can be as large as you, dude, and not have their clothes tailored. So what I'm guessing is, you this is the kind of veneer that you engage in. You go out and you have some guy by the name of Luigi tailor large Levi's work shirts and large, like, vinyl jackets that say UFW on them. And what, you know, the average cat might get them free at a thrift shop, but you're such a fat ass that you have to have them tailored. They're probably worth the whole thing $5,000. I bet you get the sneakers that you wear that goes along with your baseball cap and, you know, the whole look, man. I bet you have those things special made in China. But because what's a little third world child labor between fat asses, right? Moore. I hate that guy, man. I don't hate him, but yeah, I do hate him. He's just such a... The cat's so easy to take apart. It's, you know, you wish you had a bigger stage to do it on. I wish I had a TV show. I ain't going to have no TV show. I can't keep my mouth shut. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to sit there and not listen? Everybody else gets to talk politics, but I don't? Is that it? Everybody else gets to talk, you know, just the... Everyone else gets to rap the rote politics, which is, you know, Bush is a piece of crap. And what do you mean you're a Democrat? You don't sound like one. And all those other lame, predictable things. You think I'm going to sit there and suck on the bagel with the cream cheese and have myself another Diet Coke and just watch TV and keep my mouth shut and be really happy that I got the gig? Forget it. And that goes for that pilot we're doing, too. I mean, I would love to have that pilot go, man. But if anybody's going to be upset with my opinions, and I think about this often. I do a talk show, a radio talk show. Now, a guy says, well, we'd like to sign you and do a pilot for our television network. Now, what if this thing goes and actually gets on the air? You know, why would they put it on the air? Every night I'm here and I'm saying something about something, and it's liable to come down pretty bad for the TV show. You see? It comes down bad enough for the radio show. Well, Phil, why are you talking about this, man? You're only going to give them ideas. Like they haven't already thought about it. That's why a lot of cats, you know, I think, personally, maybe a lot of cats in radio don't get TV jobs. Well, most of them don't get TV jobs because they suck. But guys like me, who have talent, well, it's got to be something else. Couldn't possibly be that our pilot blows. All right. Coming up, it's going to be how to read a news story. I also have for you our mailbag, the Phil Hendry Show mailbag. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. Now, may I please engage you in for just a few minutes in something that's really very serious? Because this is something we were sitting around talking about today. And I am so committed. Now, you know that after 9/11, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I said, we got to get off of that oil, man. We got to get into alternative energies. And that begins with looking into these hybrid cars. I mean, I'm sorry, but I remember saying it, and I didn't hear a whole lot of other people saying it. Now, this hybrid car situation is affordable, and it's realistic. And if there's one thing we can all agree on, whether you're for the Iraq war or you're against it, if there's one thing we're all agreed on, every American's agreed on this, we got to get off that juice from the Middle East. We got to leave those ragheads in our rearview mirror. We got to pretend like we never met them. We got to just pretend like it was never thanks, but no thanks. You know what I'm saying? Would you agree or disagree with that? Janice, you still want to be friends with the ragheads? No, she likes. Okay, good. Now, the way to do this is for the public to begin to demand, and I mean this sincerely, the public must begin to demand the rapid production of not only hybrids, but of something called biodiesel-capable cars. Biodiesel is basically a diesel engine that can run on things like vegetable oil. It's being done. Who am I looking at today? Daryl Hannah. You remember her? She's got a TV show, or they were interviewed on a TV show. She's got a freaking biodiesel engine she puts French fry fat in. I ain't kidding you. Because we're all agreed on one thing. We don't want American soldiers to die. We're all agreed on another thing. We don't believe that fighting a war for oil is necessarily the best thing unless it's the only thing we got going for us. And right now, it's the only thing we got going for us. So I say, why don't we start doing something different? Why don't we at least start looking into hybrid cars? I'm going to tell you guys something right now. I've never told you what kind of car I drive, but I do drive a luxury car. Why? Because my wife said, your ass is getting so fat, you're going to need something large and leather to sit it in. But I'm going to get rid of that car come December when my lease is up and I'm getting a freaking hybrid. I don't know what it is, whether it's going to be a Honda, a Toyota, whether it'll be one of these biodiesels. So help me God, I am done paying the Arabs. And that ought to be the rallying cry. Now, what am I trying to do here? Am I trying to get a whole big thing going? I know, it's just a talk show. You guys goes in one ear and out the other. But if I could just leave you with one thought, how about this being our slogan? We're done paying the Arabs. How about that? Is that a good slogan? I'm through paying the Arabs, baby. Remember Howard Beale? I'm mad as hell and I don't want to take it no more. Remember that cat? How about this one? I'm done greasing those Arabs. Done. I'm done. I ain't giving them any more of my money. I ain't giving those cats any more of my jingle. Kringle. Now, listen to this. Naturally, if you get a hybrid, you still got to buy gasoline. Yeah, the Arabs are still going to get a couple of bucks, but they ain't going to get the kind of bread that they're pulling down now. $35 a barrel, $2.49 a gallon. Folks, you can go 500 miles on a tank of gasoline that is incorporated into a hybrid automobile. Now, where is the stuff that Janice gave me? Listen to this. You have the Toyota Prius or Prius, I don't know how the hell you pronounce it, the Honda Civic Hybrid and the Honda Insight. There are others. American cars and trucks consume more than 8 million barrels of oil daily, putting the tab for foreign crude at about $200,000 a minute. I don't know what the hell that means, but they put it in a number that they think is going to have impact on you. $200,000 a minute. For who? Me? You? What does that mean? But in any event, it's a lot. Persian Gulf countries account for 25% of U.S. oil imports, with Saudi Arabia providing 14.5%. Now, that's a lot, man. 25% of American oil comes from a part of the world that we are now told the people of which hate our guts. Now you know, you've got to be some kind of a small-minded imbecile to believe that America is worthy of hatred. No evil is able to endure the way not only our country has endured but prospered. This is not an evil place. You know it and I know it. Have we done evil things? Yeah, but as I've tried to explain in the past, many countries, in fact, every country has engaged in some kind of evil at the behest of their people for national interest. But the fact of the matter remains, that part of the world where we get our oil is a hostile place where we don't have a friend in the world. Not a friend. Other than the Israelis. And the Israelis, you want to know something? They're in the fight for their life. I don't know what's going to happen to those guys. I will tell you this. If we cut and run and not protect them, then we deserve everything we get. I would say the only reason for us to be involved in the Middle East is Israel. That's it. The oil we don't need. Saddam Hussein's Iraq was the second largest source of oil in the Middle East, providing 600,000 barrels daily. An estimated one-third of America's $300 billion annual defense budget goes to ensure the transport of oil from the Persian Gulf. That's $100 billion a year. According to the environmental attorney, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the senior counsel for the National Resources Defense Fund, if we raise fuel efficiency standards in American cars by 1 mile a gallon in 1 year, we could save twice the amount of oil that could be obtained from the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Raise it by 2.7 miles a gallon, you could eliminate all the oil imports from Iraq and Kuwait combined. Now, why don't we do this? Are we stupid? No, we're not stupid people. I know I've often called you stupid. I just do that to motivate you. You're not stupid people. So why don't we do it? Well, we don't have a reason to do it yet. We don't have a reason. Right now, we're fighting over there. We're getting the Iraqis squared away. Next thing you know, we'll take over the whole Middle East. Yada, yada, yada. I'm saying maybe there's a better way. We don't have to keep killing Americans. We don't have to keep being hated by these Arabs. We don't have to keep trying to figure out those ragheads over there who are beyond figuring out. We don't have to try to befriend those people over there who are beyond befriending. We don't have to try to understand them. We don't have to try to be diplomatic with them. We don't have to try to play one off of the other. We don't have to try to have meetings. We don't have to try to do shuttle diplomacy. We don't have to sit down with some guy in a bed sheet with racehorses and sit there and go, well, Sheikh, it's how you been, you know? And sit down with some guy in a military uniform he got from Army Surplus strutting around on the tarmac thinking he's the second coming of freaking Stalin and go, well, you're a real sensible guy. We don't have to sit down at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party and pretend like it all makes sense. We can get out of the Middle East, leave that medieval part of the world well behind, and let them eat themselves alive. Let them eat their own young. All we got to do is begin to invest some serious money in this hybrid technology, and I think it begins with each and every one of us buying one. So what? So you pull a 3-year lease on it. See for yourself, at least in the name of God, it's worth looking into. I talked to 3 or 4 people today. They have them. The guy that's got the Honda loves the hell out of it. Loves it. 500 miles he got out of a tank of gas. Lasted him a month. Because the cat's just commuting in a small area, okay? But you can figure out how it would work for you. He loves that Honda Insight. That's what he's got. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes around December time, I am taking my car. They can drive it off a cliff. They can blow it up. I don't give a crap what they do with it. I am never again going to invest in an automobile that does anything other than slowly but surely get me and my family and my community off of Arab oil. I'm sick and tired of them. I can't stand looking at them. I don't want to have anything more to do with them. I'm sick of seeing our soldiers at risk. I understand why they're there, but they don't have to be. And I'll tell you why they don't have to be. It's all about oil. It's always been about oil. It's never been about anything else but oil. And the time has come now, this century, 21st century, we got to get off that juice. Now, remember how I said this generation of Americans is one of the most pea-brained and one of the most ineffective and feckless group of people the world has ever seen? Well, maybe we can prove our mettle. Maybe we can be the people, the generation, that finally weans America off of those ragheads oil and we get back to the North American fortress and they could all kiss our bright red rosy out on Main Street, high freaking noon. How about it? I should have been giving that speech for you, Dean. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Honest to God, I don't care. You know, I'm not the kind of talk show host that would ever waste one infinitesimal second of your life trying to get you to get on the phone and call your congressman that to keep his nose hairs clean or to make sure that there's toilet seat covers in Washington. I don't care. I'm not what they call one of these teabag hosts. You know, these guys that...
And there was a talk show host in Wichita who got 6,000 people to pee into a cup, and that just to show the General Assembly how much urine can be produced from one can of Falstaff. Amazing.
Yeah, forget it. I don't care. But this thing, this is something we all see. What I've just done, I found common ground, haven't I? Common ground, baby. You like the war, you don't like the war. You like Bush, you don't like Bush. You like Kerry, you don't like Kerry. You're the this, you're the that. We can all agree on one thing and one thing alone. Raghead oil has got to go. Now look at this here. Most folks know, and I'm taking this off of a website called Grasoline.com. Most folks know Daryl Hannah as the blonde beauty who starred in films like Splash and Blade Runner. What most people don't know is that in addition to being a sweetheart of the silver screen, Daryl's also an environmentalist whose roots run deep. For many years, she's lived simply using solar energy, blah, blah. Now, Daryl's also been involved in the biodiesel movement for years and can be seen in the award-winning film French Fries to Go, available here on Grasoline.com's goods page. Daryl has educated tens of thousands of people about biodiesel through her appearance on television shows like Leno and Howard Stern, as well as many magazine interviews and all that other good crap. Stay tuned as we will be updating Daryl's page with more info about her biofuel adventures. She powers her freaking car. She powers her freaking car with vegetable oil. Dig that. With French fry oil. This is what I'm talking about. Oil, and oil alone, is the reason why we had 9/11. Not because it was our fault, but because we couldn't trust the Arabs when it came to an investment we made in pulling that resource out of the ground over there. We couldn't trust them as far as we could throw them. And it was only a matter of time before we got a knife sunk into our backs. And we did. We did. It was called 9/11. And if anything could get us up off the can and get us moving in the direction of hybrid, electrical, I don't care what, it was 9/11. And I don't give a crap how crappy the cars look, Ben. Buy a freaking ugly hybrid, man. Don't make them look better. I don't care anymore. I could care less. Hey, man, I ain't got a good-looking ride. I'm taking my lady out to see The Mummy Returns. Ah, that's too bad. Put her in the back of the pickup truck. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
And now it's time for another chapter in Life Imitates Phil. Yes, Life Imitates Phil. Where bits that we do on our show magically show up in life or on other guys' shows. Here's a letter from Aaron. Aaron lives in Maine, and he writes, Phil, not sure if this qualifies as a Life Imitates Phil, but today, meaning today, April the 21st, I had on our local talk radio station, and some guy named Glenn Beck was obviously ripping off the Phil David Hall bit. He was pretending to play the 100 worst songs of all time, and he had his program director telling him to, quote, just do it a la David. The voice was remarkably similar to David's voice. It seems that people know what good radio is. Good work, Phil. Love the show. All right, let's play now a selection from Glenn's show today. This is Glenn. He's talking to his program. Well, actually, you're going to hear. I'm going to do mine first so you can hear exactly what is being ripped off. Here is me with David Hall and the whole David Hall beats up Phil bit. Yes, David.
I want you to explain it to Bud.
Explain what?
Tell him why she's sore.
I can't tell him why she's sore. She's sore, Bud, from the place where the baby comes out.
But where is that?
Where is it?
I can't talk about that.
I want you to explain it to him and do it in a way that the FCC won't find us. Now do it.
How can I explain to him where a baby comes from with the FCC not finding us?
You can find a way, okay? 31 years in the business, you're always talking about what a big broadcaster you are. Now do it.
All right, there you go. Yes, David.
I want you to
get out of here. All right, now. Here was Glenn this morning on his show with his program director and the whole kind of pushy attitude that we invented.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about
the yes, it is. If you want that big, generous 3% raise that you asked about, you'll talk about the sentence that earns you currency.
You mean the phrase that pays?
We don't have the copyright on that, so it's the sentence that could earn you some currency.
All right. But I'm not using the new production for the contest.
Yes, you just do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Now look, Glenn, my brother, very talented guy, Glenn Beck. He is a political talk show host. Now, I've gotten many emails, many, many emails on this. I wouldn't even be going down this road were it not for the fact that we get tons of emails on this all the time, and I ignore most of them. But then we had the audio proof here of a sort of attitude lift. Now, he's not stealing the character per se, but there's an attitude lift here, and there's a sort of a character dynamic that's been lifted from this radio show. This radio show. Now, I can't keep people from... And I'm sure you've heard many people say, hey, you know, people are stealing my, quote, material, end quote. Half these guys, what they call material, man, I wouldn't use to wipe up cat crap. I wouldn't use their material to sew a gingham dress for one of the chicks on Little House on the Prairie. I just got to come out and say this, okay? Because I don't need to have stuff appropriated until the next thing you know, it doesn't belong to me anymore. That's all I'm doing. It's a proprietary, territorial kind of thing. I got to say, this is something that, and an attitude and a way of doing radio that we originated, and I am not going to sit by and listen to people just sort of pick at it whenever they feel like it, especially cats that may be on in markets that I'm not on yet in. That I'm not on yet in? That I'm not in yet on? Okay. That I'm not on in yet. Forget it. I got to say something about it, so I'm saying something about it, and we'll just let it go at that. But I didn't work 13 years working my way up from Ventura, California, living out of my car, living on the floor, sleeping on futon mattresses, having girlfriends come in and go, it doesn't smell right, and leave, things like that. I didn't leave, you know, I didn't have my car break down at the side of the road only to have the Secret Service tell me to get it moving, or President Bush's motorcade is going to have to detour there in Atlanta and up in Minneapolis when I had the cops show up wondering if I'd actually morphed into a werewolf, and then down in Miami when I had the cops show up wanting to know if I really did have a refugee, escapee, convict in the studio, and then in Miami again when we had the problems with the professional football player. I didn't pay all of these dues and sweat and work and claw and clutch and grab and grip and squeeze all the way to the top just to have people say, well, now that Phil's a success and he's on in like 100 markets, why don't we start lifting elements of attitude and different characters from his show, you know? Because, hey, he ain't on in Dallas. He's not on in Philly. He ain't on in Nashville. So we are, and we can just do it there and everybody think we did it. I'm just not going to let that happen. Thanks to good listeners like Aaron in Maine, we can keep tabs on it and simply say that it happened. I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to say I like Glenn. He's a nice guy. Great guy. Very complimentary of me. In fact, I think he mentions me as one of his influences on his website. That's great. But I mean, we all got to swim in the same water, brother. You know, I mean, you know, it's nice to get all the accolades, dude, but I got to live. OK, I got to survive. In a very competitive world, and especially in a broadcast world that is highly unoriginal, and everybody steals from everybody anyway. I've endeavored for a long time to try to maintain some kind of shred of originality on my show. It's something I take a great deal of pride in. I happen to know that what we do on our show is completely original. No one's ever done it before. And it burns a lot of people that that's the case, but that's the case. And I'm not going to have a certain facet of the broadcast business, certain kinds of broadcasters who otherwise kind of get under the radar on a lot of things, and my rear end's out there twisting in the breeze, take pieces of our show and augment their programs with it so they can continue to do the kind of radio they do on the, you know, no offense to Glenn, but I mean, I've seen some of the stations he's on. I'd rather die from slow strychnine poisoning than broadcast on some of those stations. Because it ain't radio, man. It's just, it's something. I think that's their slogan. It ain't radio, but it's something. Now, having said all of that, I want you to know that I have a great deal of respect for Glenn, and I know that he doesn't do it with maliciousness of heart. At least I don't think so. But if he ever does it again, he dies slow. All right. And with that... That ends this segment of Phil Threatens Someone's Life. Coming up, our mailbag and our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. And here is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Hey, great. Love your show.
Thank you.
And you are the original. We all know that.
Some of us.
Some of us. Not
yes.
enough, though. Hey, I got a question for you, though, on your new oil policy. How does that fit with your good friend President Bush?
Now, how's that?
He's all wrapped up in oil.
How's that a new oil policy? I don't get that.
Well,
all I'm saying is, look, the reason why we are in the Middle East and the reason why we have to be there is we do have to protect a vital national resource, which is oil. Now, people can pretend like they don't need oil, but who are they kidding? Okay? So if we really don't want to fight a war for oil, which, you know, why not fight a war for oil? I mean, it powers everything that we are. We don't have oil. We cease existing as a country.
Yeah.
So I don't really get why fighting a war for oil is bad. But if, in fact, we don't want to have to be beholden to the Arabs anymore, there is, like I said, some common ground. And that's beginning to really commit to the hybrid technology.
You know, there's a bill in the state assembly that will let the hybrid cars go in the carpool lanes.
That's a start.
Yeah,
but,
you gotta get that passed.
Yeah, that's a start. But I don't think we're gonna get anywhere until we mandate that those are the only cars that can be built. I mean, why not? Why not?
Because the oil companies won't let that.
Well, look,
happen.
Let the oil companies start selling their own good old fashioned American oil. How about that?
Yeah,
I mean,
they get tax incentives to buy it from OPEC.
Well, but look at this is a national security issue now. This has become a national security issue, and the American people got to quit being such sheep on this one and quit sitting on their hands and talking big and not backing it up. If we don't want oil, you know, a war for oil, if we're tired of President Bush's war, which everybody calls it that, the fact of the matter is, we're over there militarily for some very good reasons. Al Qaeda is one of them. And if we're not fighting them in Iraq, where everybody says there's no linkage, huh? Hey, let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you something. Do you think we should have gone after Al Qaeda?
Absolutely.
Where?
In Afghanistan.
Oh, how about in Pakistan?
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's an invasion of somebody else's country.
Yes, we should have invaded Pakistan.
Oh, we should have invaded Pakistan. So you want a bloodbath? You want a bloodbath in the mountains of Pakistan against the wishes of the government there, as opposed to taking out Saddam Hussein, who is equally culpable, funding these terrorists and providing camps for them. So you're not against American military intervention. You just didn't want it in Iraq. Is that it?
I just think it was misdirected. Yeah. I think if you're going to go after Al-Qaeda...
Sir, you are the only guy in America who's saying that. You're the only man in America with that opinion.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Frankly, I don't think you really have that opinion.
I think it's
a convenient opinion that you have now, because it kind of suits you at this moment. I don't think you believe that.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, because it goes against every single reason why we shouldn't go to Iraq.
No, not at all. There's
no
link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq.
There's no link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq, even though they're crawling through that country right now. They're crawling through it.
They're crawling through it because we went to war.
Oh, yeah, that's like if you didn't walk down that street, that bully never would have pushed you, huh? So go three blocks out of your way. Are you kidding me, man? That's a coward's argument. Come on, give me something better.
No, it's a
coward's argument. If we hadn't done that, then those guys wouldn't have done this.
I would have been all
so let me ask something, Jim. If we'd gone into Pakistan, like you wanted us to do, in violation of the United Nations Charter, because that would be invading someone else's country, but
Afghanistan
Jim's,
was somebody else's country.
Jim's, the UN approved of that. The UN approved of that.
So what? Why does
wait a minute. You don't care about the UN Charter, right?
The UN didn't approve of us going into Iraq.
Well, apparently you don't care about the UN's opinion.
On most issues, you're right, I don't.
Oh, you just kind of pick and choose whenever it suits you, huh?
Just like Mr. Bush did, yes.
Oh, so what are you talking about, Matt? What are we on the playground here, just like Mr. Bush did? Do you have any real opinions, or are you just calling up to,
No, my real opinion is George Bush ignored...
No, let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you... Yeah, I know, that is kind of funny, but let's try it.
Okay.
What do you think of the United Nations?
I think the United Nations is fine for most of the things that it does. But I think...
Oh, okay, but we can pick and choose what they aren't good at, right? Well, guess what? I pick and choose it, and I say that they suck when it came to their decision on Iraq.
So thanks. Too. I think...
Yeah, really? Do you? Then we went in for the right reason, pal. Hey, what's your opinion about George Bush and his oil? Don't make it about the talk show host, okay? I'm tired of that. I just gave you a couple of ideas. You guys can either do it or not. I don't care. Strangle on that Arab oil for all I care, man. $2.49 a gallon, and it's going up, baby. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn. The Phil Henry Show is back.
But the problem, folks, and this is going to be the biggest bombshell to drop since 9/11. Not the Iraq War. No, because something really ugly is about to happen, and it's going to happen to the people who wanted us to honor the UN. And believed that the international charter agreed to by the United Nations, that is member nations, should have been honored because it was a charter under the aegis of an honest organization. An enormous bombshell is about to drop that is going to leave a lot of people with not just egg in their faces, but chicken crap all over their faces. And you may know what I'm talking about when I say it's called oil for food. Do you know? One of the great things about us going into Iraq, and one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't want us to go into Iraq, is that we found out a lot of things. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, as much as you want to believe America's the big evil terror lord, yeah, we dug up some stuff. We found out about France. Those lying, backstabbing turds. We found out about the Krauts, and we found out about the Ruskies. We found out about them lining the pockets of Saddam, and now we're going to find out. And the beginning of this is taking place in Washington, and there are other investigations going on. If the United Nations has got any real moral standing in the world, they would look into their own oil for food program, which provided illegal monies, not only for Saddam Hussein, but for countries like Liechtenstein, Switzerland, France, Germany. Oh, yeah! You bet! The crooked dealings under this oil for food program in the United Nations leaves the UN virtually morally bankrupt. And for anybody to stand there and point an accusing finger at the Bush administration, and for Kerry to stand there and say, hey baby, we got to go to the UN, when we are now finding out ever so slowly, ever so surely, that the UN might have been involved in one of the largest smuggling operations in the history of the world, this is going to be big. It's going to be big. And it's going to be frighteningly ugly, and we never would have found out about it for the fact that the United States went in there and cleaned some stink out. Now, yeah, we're having to fight insurgents. Some people want you to believe that they're Iraqi revolutionaries. Got nothing to do with it. Yeah, there's a lot of bad people running around in that country. Some people would have you believe they got nothing whatsoever to do with any ill meaning toward America vis-a-vis 9/11. And yeah, there's a lot going on in that country. Let me tell you what, the stuff that's going on in that country is going to blow the freaking lid off of the governments of a few others. And when all is said and done, you may have to turn around and say, well, maybe it wasn't such a bad thing we went into Iraq after all. I know it's going to kill some people. They'll probably strangle on the words. Because God forbid we should ever say that our government, our people, ever do anything right. Well, that just isn't hip. I mean, what would Michael Moore do? He wouldn't be able to sit around and stare at himself in a mirror with his baseball cap and his attempt at a George Michael beard. Why, he'd just be seen for what he is, a cat that is slowly but surely draining all of the resources from every IHOP in America. Michael Moore has got to be stopped, because there will be no more blueberry syrup or butter left. He's got to be stopped. Let's go. This has been Michael Moore Has Got to Be Stopped. No, actually, I was going to do our mailbag here, but I don't have any time. I got no time for the mailbag. I'm going to come out with the mailbag. How long is the Jay Santos flashback, man? How long is the either the Jay Santos flashback or the Herb? We can't do Jay, can we? How long is the Herb Sewell flashback? Two? Herb is here, probably. We got to do Jay? We got to do Jay. 2 minutes and what? 2 minutes and 54 seconds. We don't have time. All right, well, we'll do Jay this hour, but we'll do him in a few more minutes. We also have coming up our mailbag. But I want you guys to think of it. We also have a how to assimilate on the roadways of California. You got to think about, and better yet, you got to look into this oil for food, because they're commencing investigations. This thing is going to turn out to be the biggest embarrassment for the people that called America's entry into a conflict in Iraq to clean out Saddam Hussein, his sponsorship of terror organizations. These individuals who called that illegal, highly immoral, in America the greatest terror in the world. You imagine the ignorance of a jackass that accuses us as being the greatest terrorist in the world. When they find out that the United Nations that John Kerry wants us now to throw in with may have been involved in one of the largest operations of graft, smuggling, and lavish living for Saddam Hussein that the planet Earth has ever seen, they won't stop vomiting. Now, I said it again. I said it, and I want to say it again. But Michael Moore is sucking every bit of frosted sugar out of every Krispy Kreme in America. And someone's got to do something about it. Because if that ass gets any bigger, our roadways are not safe. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, you got to understand. Listen to this. You ain't going to believe this. You better grab your underwear, man. I mean, you better make sure that you've got a couple extra clean pair. Not relying on interviews, but on corporate registry documents and U.S. and U.N. terror watch lists. The United Nations, it appears, while still busy praising its own $100 billion oil for food program, was quietly trying to strip out huge graft overlays from the remaining $10 billion or so in contracts that were suddenly slated for handover to the U.S.-led Coalition Provisional Authority. So in other words, these contracts, which were about to fall into the hands of the Americans, the U.N. was stripping out graft payments so we wouldn't find them. Secretary General Kofi Annan was finally forced last month to quit stonewalling and agreed to an independent investigation. Let me tell you why he was stonewalling. Not because Kofi Annan is necessarily involved or is a dishonest man, because he suddenly could smell the stink coming up and it was going to be bad. There's a whole lot of people, man, are going to go down. The United Nations. You know, the guys we're supposed to go to for everything. And now, on the Phil Henry Show, time for our mailbag, selection of mail that we get, or emails that we get on the old website. You can go to phsphilhenryshow.com and like that. Send us an email. Phil, I live just south of Camp Pendleton Marine Base. I also live in the boonies. I moved from Cox Cable Modem to SBC DSL 18 months ago. I was happy for 16 months. What happened, you say? Well, I used to call customer service maybe once every 3 months and got friendly, knowledgeable people. About 6 weeks ago, I bought a new router so I could hook up my wife's computer, too, on the same DSL modem. I called SBC to ask about some settings, and I got India. Bad music on hold and a long wait, and the tech was completely clueless and had a heavy accent to boot. So maybe you're better off with the satellite. Yours, Frank R. Nichols. Well, Frank, I have contacted our own computer people here at Premier Radio Networks. Brian Glicklick is a great guy. He's actually, Brian, thank God, is well-versed in wireless and satellite internet uplinks, so I feel that we're in good hands. We're going to see what Starband can do for us over the next couple of weeks, because Brian says it's a breeze. He says Starband, that whole satellite thing, is a no-brainer. You just got to know what you're doing. Yeah, okay, thanks a lot for that, Brian. That sounds like me when I heard that. Phil, I thought I was the only one paranoid enough not to let my daughter's friends be in my house when I was the only one there. When my daughters were 8 and 6 and the three girls down the street would show up at our house on a Sunday afternoon and I was alone, I took action. I would immediately marshal everyone out in the front yard by the street while all the other neighbors' children. No way in hell was I going to be in that house alone with them and have some psycho mother start accusing me of doing something inappropriate. Thanks for telling me that. Now I don't feel like I was being overly cautious. Well, dude, I wasn't taking them out into the street. I mean, it's just, you know, I just would say, okay, honey, Catherine, you know, you gotta, like, your friend's gotta split now, and what's her mother's phone number? And I called up the mom, right, you know. But maybe take them out in the street ain't such a bad idea, I don't know. And with that, the music ended. Oh, dear Phil, my name is Gavin, and I'm from Ireland. I spent Christmas in America with my girlfriend for a month, and we had a wonderful time and loved listening to your show every night while driving home from our day trips. Last week, my girlfriend emailed me and ended our relationship. Please tell Brenda Manning that Gavin O'Donovan loves her so much and misses her terribly, and please, let's give it another go. I love you, Brenda. Thank you so much, Phil. I mean, thank you so much, Phil. Gavin. Phil, it sure is scary to think that some people enlist in the U.S. military without understanding their primary mission. Thank you for reminding our soldiers that the military's purpose is to defend America, and that means possibly combat. Also, thank you for explaining that the U.S. Marines don't complain. This is the main reason that Marines hate to be called soldiers. The Marine Corps and the U.S. Army are two different worlds. If you join the Corps, you join to fight. I spent 2 years in the Middle East, Iraq, Kuwait, Bahrain, and it sucked. But I'm proud to say that I helped liberate the people of Iraq, and they sounded just like this. Nobody wants to be in a crap hole country like Iraq, but if you're a member of the U.S. Armed Forces, then you need to shut your pie hole and do your job. The military isn't just another job or a means to get a college education. The military is for brave men and women that want to defend America. Thanks again for supporting the Marines. Rest assured that every Marine that is killed there are 10 times more, there are 10 times more insurgent deaths. Semper Fi, Phil Donald, USMC. Almost religious, isn't it, this music? Phil, if you removed nude photos of the female listeners from your website because of censorship issues, how can you possibly support Bush over Kerry, John Petrick? I don't get it, man. What, Kerry's going to let me put nude photos up? Like he, in other words, won't get complaints from the same jackasses that are the same one jackass, I should say? Phil, love your show. When you were referring to Jessica Simpson, it occurred to me that I have never even heard any of the music that she spews out. So in the spirit of fairness, I checked out her website. Not only was I not impressed with her temporary looks, but her diction is as bad, if not worse, than Cher's. To make matters worse, not only does the site inflict bits of her crap music on the unwary visitor, but you can't turn the music off, even when you leave the site. I had to reboot and lose precious moments of insight from your show. I'm pissed. I intend on filing a complaint with the internet gods in a moment. Thanks again for some of the best entertainment I've heard in years. Brian, Arizona. Dear Phil, on two different occasions, I've heard from friends of mine that you've done an impression of me on your show, and that it's hilarious. Although I'm a big fan of your work and think you do some of the most creative things I've ever heard on the air, I've never caught one of these bits. Could you tell me what day they aired? I'd even be willing to sign up for your website to hear them. Thanks, and keep up the great work. You really are one of the best I've heard. Lord have mercy, Jim Ladd. And finally, all this talk of porn reminds me of when Jeff Dowder brought a copy of Swank on board a flight to New York and sat next to a little boy and read it under a towel. Dark Horse rules, yeah, Steve Adams. Phil, I think Michael Moore lives with his mom and sleeps on a couch out back on the porch. Sean. By the way, speaking of Michael Moore, we do have this quote. Daryl Hannah was quoted in today's LA Times as saying, Michael Moore's fat alone could keep two grease-powered cars going for several years. Thank you very much, Daryl. Yeah. That's our mailbag on the Phil Henry Show. And don't forget, PHS at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Time for a flashback from our show yesterday. We had Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on to talk about Youth Watch, a program that Citizens Auxiliary Police has instituted because the anniversary of 9/11 passed yesterday, and it is Columbine, and he believes that Columbine, since 9/11, could provoke even more serious violence among young people. In fact, the nerds are the ones that you really can't trust because they're the ones who understandably get pushed around and then go psycho. So any kid walking around with a flugelhorn case is a walking disaster.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Are you a commissioned police officer?
I'm with Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are a volunteer police group aligned with Neighborhood Watch. But we do have a blue armband. We're completely identifiable.
So you're not a commissioned police officer.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. I mean,
do you have a degree in psychology?
Well, you don't have to have a degree in
psychology. Do you have a degree in psychology?
No, I don't.
Do you have a degree in psychiatry?
Well, no, I do not. Do you?
No, I have a degree in business administration, and I know damn well
you don't.
That you are not going to search my kid.
Sir, I have the right to stop and search.
I'd be on your front porch beating you over the head with your own arms.
Well, then you got a problem.
No, you have the problem.
Then you're going to have a problem with myself and other members of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I won't have any problem with you, pal, because I'll just...
I can tell you this much. Under the Constitution of the United States...
You one thing. Where do you operate out of?
Under the Constitution of the United States...
Where do you operate out of?
Excuse me, sir, but under the Constitution of the United States...
Where do you operate out of?
Let me say again, sir, under the Constitution of the United States, we do have the right to citizen's arrest and stop and search and seizure if it's a citizen of the United States.
Because I tell you what,
you've never heard of
my kid, you won't arrest anybody.
Well, sir, then you're going
to tell you.
I don't have to.
You sound like you're from the South. Are you operating in the Southeast somewhere?
No, sir, I operate out of Southern California. I'm originally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, sir, so that shows what you know. Number two.
I'll tell you what. Don't ever bring yourself to Washington because you will be in a world of hurt.
Sir, you're going to have a problem with me.
Up here, we pride our privacy. And
well,
if you touch my kid, I'll be kicking your butt on your front porch.
I'm sure all you people up in Washington like to keep your, incest quiet and everything, but I'm sure...
All right, that's not necessary.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
Wait a second.
On your front porch, dragging
sir, every Thursday
your
night,
and beating you about the head, neck, and shoulder.
Look, if you rip my arms
that's
off...
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, then you're going to have a problem.
You have a problem because you'll be a bloody heap laying on your own front porch for your wife to see.
I can assure you that every Thursday night, Brigadier...
My boy or my girl, I tell you what, you will never breathe through your lungs again.
Well, all right, so you want to be...
We're straight.
You want to be the only one to touch your boy and your girl.
You have an organization in Southern California, Northwest...
Well, I didn't hear you, Craig.
...to you quickly.
Well, I don't agree with you, Craig. And by the way, if you're the only one to...
If you agree with me or not, but you come North Oregon... And we're going to show you.
Well, actually, we are planning on going up there next week.
Yeah, if you do, where are you going to be?
We're going to be in Tacoma, Washington.
Really? Doing what?
We're going to be checking all the book bags and everything, making sure the kids aren't carrying French horns and flugelhorns.
I'll tell you what, you better bring your guns.
Well, Craig.
If you don't,
look,
we got ours.
I understand you want to be the only one touching your daughter and your son. I get that.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Now, that cat up there, what a meathead that guy was. We pride ourselves on our privacy up here. I love guys like, those cats that, how does he know who he's talking to? In other words, Jay might sound like a wuss, but maybe he's like a former special operations, karate master or something. I don't know. Sounds like a big meathead redneck to me. But then Jay is like a small meathead redneck, so... Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, we just have a little bit of time on our show to... get into a regular feature called How to Read a News Story. And here's one from Toms River, New Jersey. This one, man, you can see this one coming 8 blocks off. Now, I don't know what the name of the news, this is UPI. I don't know who's credible anymore. UPI, AP, the LA Times. Who's making up stories? Who's telling us? You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you get your news? Well, the answer is you got to get your news from a lot of different sites because everybody's making up news now. I mean, the New York Times is making up stuff. The LA Times is making up stuff. UPI's making up stuff. Here you go. Toms River, New Jersey. Council says New Jersey mosque vandalized. The New Jersey Office of the Council on American-Islamic Relations said Wednesday vandals drew Nazi swastikas at a mosque construction site. The Muslim Council urged local and national law enforcement authorities to investigate the weekend incident in Toms River, New Jersey, as a possible hate crime. Now, so far, the story raises a little bit of a red flag with me. Nazis and mosques. I don't get the connection. Historically, it's been proven that Muslim nations were actually sympathetic to Hitler. Now, I'm not talking about in contemporary times. I mean, during Hitler's rule of Nazi Germany, there were many sympathetic Muslim countries. However, I digress. The next part of the story goes, the council said vandals also punched holes in the newly erected walls of the mosque and left obscene and racist graffiti such as Hail Hitler. Not Heil Hitler, Hail Hitler. Police have promised to consider installing surveillance cameras at the site and to increase patrols. The council is the U.S.'s largest Islamic civil liberties group, headquartered in Washington, D.C., and has 26 regional offices. Why do I say this is how to read a news story? Look, folks, I personally, as an American, I abhor anybody getting picked on for getting picked on in a hateful, ignorant way, in a violent way, for their religion, their race, or anything else. You disagree with Islam, you disagree with Christianity, you got to be able to say something about it. The reason why I ain't buying this is twofold. First of all, Hail Hitler is either a very young child wrote that, a very, very young person, or somebody who was trying to make it look like Nazis were targeting not only Jews, but Muslims. There isn't any historic reason for Nazis to go after Muslims. The fact is, historically, that the Nazis murdered Jews. Now, that's who they murdered. They didn't put Muslims in ovens. They put Jews in ovens. It so happens that Jews are also despised by many Arab countries, some of which consider themselves to be Islamic countries. It is possible, and I think it is entirely probable, that this so-called racist graffiti and vandalism of this mosque is an inside job done by Muslims to provoke a, shall we say, similar sympathetic outpouring from the community, to take a little bit of the sympathy vote away from the Jewish synagogues, and to make themselves appear to be victims of a hate campaign. Now, God knows that there are a lot of crazy people in this country who would be willing to do damage to anybody's religious institution, anybody's religious place of worship, whether it be Islamic, Jewish, Christian, or whatever. And I don't doubt that Islamic people in this country have been the victims of that. You don't read about it too often, which is probably disquieting to some Muslims because they'd like to be seen as a group of people, some of them, who are equally victimized the way Jews are. The fact of the matter is, I ain't seen it, have you? And so what we got is an inside job here to make it look like they are. Little piece of advice. You know, this is the radio show, folks, that back right after the anthrax scare, I was the only guy in America who told you, this is not Osama bin Laden, it's a domestic nut. The only guy. Everybody else was screaming about Osama sending anthrax. I knew it was some screwball. It doesn't mean that I was a genius. It just means that I don't see any reason why Osama bin Laden sends anthrax to the National Enquirer. Only a dumbass American does something like that. We were also the only country, the only show on the air who, you know, told you that the sniper in Washington, D.C. wasn't some paramilitary organization. It was a psycho. And it was a psycho. They had guys on CNN and Fox. Oh, it's a paramilitary. It could be, terrorist. It could be. It's a psycho. And I'm going to tell you right now that this crap about Hail Hitler is an inside job perpetrated by Muslims themselves to get a sympathy vote from the community on so-called, you know, racism against Arab Americans. It's pretty desperate. Pretty sad, pretty desperate. Speaking of sad and desperate, Bud Dickman has just joined us. How you doing, Bud?
Did you ever explain where babies come from?
Don't get into that again. Get out of here.
But why is she sore down there?
Who wants to know?
Glenn Beck.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.